Hey guys, welcome back to the Music That Made America podcast. My name is Jacoby and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Noah and Jordy.
What's up, guys? We are back. Let's do it.
All right. So let's just get right into it. Today we're going to be doing the big bopper. Later in the video, we will be covering how he's a disc jockey who portrayed himself with a big voice and lively personality. He was also known as a one-hit wonder for a song many of you might know as Chantilly Lace. So let's begin.
All right. Let's do it. So I'll start off. He was born Giles Perry Richardson on October 24th, 1930, in Sabine Pass, Texas. His father worked on oil fields and was a driller. He had two younger brothers, Cecile and James, and his family decided to move to Port Arthur when he was very young.
All right, he attended public school, so obviously he wasn't really too rich. Obviously, he wasn't in private school or anything like that.
Yes.
He played high school football.
Can we stop for a second?
Sure.
We had some people who were in private school, if I do remember correctly. Was it Buddy Hall?
I'm not sure, but I do remember that some of them went to private school.
Yes.
Which just shows you, like, obviously the wealth gap in different artists.
But it also shows that money isn't everything and you don't need money to be successful.
True.
100%.
Okay, so he played high school football and he graduated from Beaumont High School in 1949. He studied law at Lamar College, and I believe that's in Texas, and he was a member of their band and of their chorus.
During this time,
he found a job at a radio station in Beaumont. And he went by the name of Giles or Joppa, Jape. That was his two DJ names.
Okay, so let's just stop there. We're learning at least one fact. That's just, I guess, a fun fact is that obviously he played football in high school.
But even more importantly, he studied law.
It's two different subjects other than music. So you could tell that he wasn't really a lot of our previous musicians that we've actually covered in the past actually began their musician journey or musical journey. I guess when they were very young, around like 4 or 3 or whatever, four to seven or something like that.
But this is probably one of the oldest.
Also shows you that I think with some of the other artists, it was pretty much music or bust. Like, that's all they did. That was their true passion. This guy had a lot of passions. He clearly liked politics enough to study law. He clearly liked sports to play football. And then, obviously, music was also a passion of his. So he was a pretty diverse guy, had a lot of interests.
Yeah, and it was also very good that he got a musical footing in college anyway, because that would greatly influence him, clearly, going in the radio station business.
Yep. All right, keep going, Jordy.
All right, so he married Adrian Joy on April 18th, 1955. He had received the nickname The Big Bopper after working as a DJ for KTRM. In 1955, he joined the Army, where he spent 2 years as a radar instructor at Fort Bliss.
Actually, he was drafted into the Army,
He was drafted and joined the Army. All right, after his discharge, it didn't specify whether he was told to leave or he was told he could leave. But he began working at KTRM Radio, where he took over the dishwasher's serenade shift, which was just a shift of a certain show they put on the radio like at that time.
Yeah. He wasn't actually just dishwashing in the kitchen.
Yeah, he was not in the kitchen. He was doing a show called that. And it was Monday, every day during the week.
Monday through Friday. So that really just shows his, I think it was 9 to 10, is like 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Which just really shows his dedication to the job. Really. And that's like really his true passion and stuff.
Yes. All right. So one of the sponsors wanted Richardson for his new time slot and suggested an idea for the show. Richardson saw the college students doing a dance called the Bob, so he decided to call himself the Big Bopper.
That's random. That's really strange.
It
but
is
interesting.
A little, yeah. It
how,
is.
Did, how do you get Bob out of Bopper?
I mean, I guess, you know, like
Bob.
The Bop was the name of the dance. Okay.
The Bop was the name of the dance. Uh-huh.
So there we go. So that's why. He was the Big Bopper
that
from
makes
the Bop.
That makes
got it. Okay, so after that, he started his new show, and he became the station's program director, which is someone who does a lot of media. I know that's a pretty high position.
So clearly in a few years, he's actually making a footing in this radio station, and it's becoming, I guess, more of a career than him doing law.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that he went to law but ended up working in radio.
And it also shows that he was clearly making an influence on the people there, because not only did they promote him for a new show, but they also put him in charge of programming, which is definitely a pretty important job there. So clearly he was doing a really nice job at the radio station.
Yeah, I just want to say this is all before the age of 30.
Right.
Yeah.
And just doing it young. Okay. In May of 57, the Big Bopper held a broadcasting record of 6 days straight, spinning 1,821 records, and he took his showers during 5-minute newscasts. During the marathon of 6 days, he lost 35 pounds and made almost $750.
Holy crap. He lost 35 pounds
in 6 days.
I'm going to lose 35 pounds in 6 days.
$746.50. Oh, yes. It was like it's definitely over 10,000.
Yeah,
I think converted over. That's a lot of money.
It's around 1957. Yeah, 1957.
Because like back then, like you can get like a ball, like you can get something for like a dime, like a drink for a dime. So.
Think about how much effort it must take to play almost 2,000 songs. It was like 1,800 songs. Then obviously you take your showers and clean yourself off during the 5-minute breaks.
Yeah.
And you clearly don't eat anything, or you eat very little, because you lose over 30 pounds. And
yeah,
I mean, that is crazy. I mean, think about how much effort and how much commitment that must take to do that for 6 days in a row.
Very much.
All right. So afterwards, he slept for 20 hours straight. So
well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved.
Good job, bud.
The next year, in 1958, he signed onto many tours to promote his record. The last tour that he had sadly signed onto was the Winter Dance Party of 1959. That tour was supposed to be played at multiple places in the Midwest, and that year the Midwest was suffering from a harsh winter, so the tour bus had many problems that they faced, including having no heat.
So the Big Bopper had caught the flu after this, and since obviously the bus had no had problems, basically Buddy Holly, which we covered before, wanted to instead take a plane to his gig in Clear Lake, Iowa. And so what happened was is that he actually made, I guess, another coin flip. Not really, but it was technically he asked the bass player for Buddy Holly if he could change seats for one of them to get the bus, because he didn't really feel that well and he needed to go to the doctor. And in all, he just wasn't doing so well. So it was more advisable that he would go on the plane to get there faster, because the bass player was probably healthy, I would assume.
Yep.
And so, ironically,
this bass player was like the cause for like, who's the last person who died with the coin toss?
Richie
Valens?
Richie Valens made the coin toss.
Yeah, with the bass player. So probably I don't know what happened here. We'll like put up a hypothetical. The Big Bopper, he's sick. The bass player is like, oh, you can have you can go on the plane. But then it's like, oh, it's between me and Richie Valens.
So
he's just caused the thing. Wait, so we can lead this back to the Big Bopper.
You could lead it back.
Not to point fingers, but like, no, we're not pointing fingers.
But you know what? In all honesty, you could see actually that because these, the coin flip was just out of random luck, because both people wanted to be on that plane. But the Big Bopper, the guy actually felt sympathy for and left the, he actually left the plane. By the way, guys, the name of the bass player was Waylon Jennings. And he actually felt sympathy for the Big Bopper, and so he gave up his seat. And in turn, because he gave up his seat, because he had that kindness, he didn't die. And the Big Bopper, obviously, he Yes, you know, yes. So it just gives you an idea of you never really want to you always want to, like, I guess feel sympathy for others and do what you can to help people, but at the same point, like, you could see that
I just gotta say, man, it's no one's fault, honestly. Here, it's not this person's fault for having the flu or this person's fault for being nice. It's just how the dominoes fall.
Yeah, yes. it was honestly just luck. That's what I think.
Yeah,
bad luck.
And in all honesty, going into his legacy, he did have a really large impact on country music.
That's 100%.
And yes,
that's so much true. He will always be recalled as a rockabilly star, which is a if you guys haven't seen our other episode, a rockabilly means rock and country together. Like, there's rock and jazz, there's rock and country star, and yeah.
Get me some big bopper. I mean, you know what? This guy, in all honesty, will go down with the many legends of the 1950s.
And along with one of the many legends who died on that fateful day.
Yes.
The day the music died.
Crazy, we've talked about so many artists. I mean, we've done, you know, a bunch of episodes already. And what is it? Probably almost half of them died on one day in one plane crash, right?
Yeah.
I mean, probably, I would say close to half, if not half.
Yeah, so about three. Yeah, about three.
I think three people.
Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
Yep, all died. Yeah. So that's about, I think we've probably done six or seven episodes probably, so about half.
Yeah.
No, I also want to say, like, this, we're doing this over a cross of, like, weeks, but this all happened, people, back then, all in one day. This truly is the day the music died.
And it's crazy because, you know what, it just makes you think how young these people really died and what how much of their life was just taken away by that one fatal plane crash. I mean, most of these people were born between 1915 and 1930. So a lot of, you know, like, I think Richie Valens would be what, 25, almost 30, probably, I would say.
He was young. They were all young.
They were all young, and sadly, they you know, the plane crashed actually in Clear Lake, Iowa, and
that was
and that was the day the music died, I guess, in a lot of people's eyes.
Yep,
definitely.
All right, I think that's a pretty good,
good
way to describe the great Big Bopper. We will be back with more episodes. Just as a note, the summer is ending, so we will not be together, the three of us, as much as we have been in the past, but we'll try to get as much content out there as we possibly can through the 1950s and beyond.
Yes.
And so we'll be going throughout the school year. We start school up soon, but we'll do as best we can to get as much content out as possible.
100%. Yes, we will work on a schedule, posting at hopefully once a week, if not once every 2 weeks, but we will get our episodes out to our fans, and everyone stay safe. And
be well.
Be well. Yes.